May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, the Reverend Lisa invited us to Trinity's first ever off-campus leadership retreat, at which she challenged us to wonder together how we're being called to serve God and our neighbor as we begin a new season of ministry here at Trinity. The retreat, as I understand it, was aimed at broadening and strengthening the lay leadership of this church, focused on questions of how we might better carry out the ministry of the church, how we might become more effective leaders, how we can overcome our fears that are holding us back, how can we work better together to carry out the mission of this church. And these are all important how questions, and implied in them, I think, are even more fundamental questions about the nature of our ministry here as a parish. What message are we at Trinity trying to convey as we serve God and our neighbor in this new season of ministry? I think the retreat was really an invitation from the Reverend Lisa to each of us, whether we define ourselves as leaders or not, to engage in a conversation about the fundamentals of our faith, both as individuals and as a faith community. What do we really genuinely believe? What is the core of our faith? What are we being called to witness to others? So this morning, I want to continue that conversation. I wasn't actually at the retreat. I was in sunny Florida at the time, but I know what was going on. So I'm going to engage in that conversation with you, my friends, this morning just a tad. But before doing so, let's acknowledge that to even have such a conversation about fundamentals of our faith is to be outliers in an increasingly secular society. A recent Pew Research poll found that only 16% of Americans now regard religious belief as something of supreme or significant importance in their lives. This was 20% just a decade ago that people thought religion was very important to them. The poll asked people to self-identify themselves, and the largest group of people in this research poll identified themselves as agnostic, atheist, or nothing in particular. That was the biggest group. And these so-called nones, N-O-N-E-S, not N-U-N-S, nones, make up currently about 30% of the population, but it's the most rapidly growing component. 30% today, expected to be a majority by the year 2060. So, we faithful few who gather somewhere on a Sunday morning are really an endangered species. We are outliers in an increasingly secular society. And with that clearly in mind, I want to, again, continue this conversation that the Reverend Lisa so kindly has invited us to have by offering this morning a modest proposal that we, the people of Trinity and our friends, take the namesake of this church as the heart of our message, the essence of our witness, the center of our ministry. our namesake. Now, in the business world, we talk about branding as the promotion of some product by some particular feature of that product that distinguishes it from other products in the marketplace. And we here at Trinity already have a lot of brand recognition simply by bearing the name that we do. And so I suggest we capitalize on that. So I want to spend a few minutes with you reflecting on this namesake of ours, sharing with you my understanding of the Trinity. And I hope thereby you'll catch a glimmer of why I think the Trinity is a dandy thing for us here at Trinity Church to hang our collective hat on. And my hope is that by sharing with you just a little bit of my own understanding of the Trinity, you'll be challenged to affirm your own understanding. And of course, you may disagree, and you're perfectly free to do so. You may well disagree with some or a lot of what I have to say, but that's okay. That's useful too, if it sharpens you in your own understanding of your own faith. For many of us, I realize, of course, that the Trinity is one of those challenging mysteries of the Christian faith. God, we say, who is three persons and yet one substance. God who is one and three. God who is three and one. Yeah, that's a challenge. This doctrine of the Trinity runs through the history of the church, the creeds of the church, the iconography of the church, the emblems of the church, the vestments of the church. We use it all the time. It's a familiar word to us, but what is the Trinity? Or more precisely, what does the Trinity mean to me? When I say to you glibly, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, what am I talking about? First, God the Father. To me, God the Father is the source of all that is, everything that is, the origin of all reality and of the quality of existence itself. God the Father was there at the beginning, at what astrophysicists call the Big Bang, when all energy and matter began radiating outward from a singular point of origin. The book of Genesis says it took God 7 days to create this marvelous universe. Astrophysicists, cosmologists tell us it happened rather precisely about 13.7 billion years ago. Whatever the date, the Bible assures us that God was there in the beginning, speaking, creating, and declaring it good. In our reading this morning from Genesis that Barbara read for us, we hear about the creative power of this God the Father. He's the one, we read, who created humankind and the birds of the air, the domestic animals, and every animal on the earth, all of whom, in the reading this morning, emerged from that remarkably seaworthy craft of Noah as the worldwide floodwaters began to recede. The backstory to the flood occurs earlier in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. You know these words. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." Notice that God, the Creator, in referring to God's self, uses plural pronouns, our and us. And if that isn't a little tip that the God that we worship is something more than a single entity, but something more complex than that. God the Father is the creative force, but God the Son and God the Holy Spirit were also there in that community of God at the moment of creation. And throughout the Bible, we have other hints, if you have eyes to see, other hints of this three-in-one person involved in creation. The Old Testament book of Proverbs speaks of wisdom with a capital W, and by the way, with a feminine pronoun, as the personification of God, the Holy Spirit, as being present at the first, before the beginning of the earth. And in the New Testament, in that marvelous prologue to the Gospel of John, where Jesus is described as the eternal Word of God, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And our reading that Lisa read for us from the Gospel of Mark this morning portrays the full cast, if you were listening, the full cast of the creative community of God at the moment of the baptism of Jesus, at the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. And you recall the scene. Jesus is being baptized in the River Jordan. God the Father is there in the voice from heaven, as powerful as God was on the day of creation, identifying Jesus as the Son of God with words that are unequivocally clear. "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And where was the Holy Spirit? Of course, the Holy Spirit was there as well, on the move, as always, descending and alighting upon God the Son. God the Son, Jesus. And who is he, this second person of the Trinity? Well, from that opening scene of the ministry as it begins to unfold, we know that Jesus is the beloved Son of God, with whom God the Father is well pleased, and upon whom the Holy Spirit has descended. Set within the context of all that I have read and tried to study in the Bible, and all of the life that I've been blessed to experience, I think that God the Father sent God the Son to dwell among us because of God's love, aka the Holy Spirit. Indeed, I believe this Trinity is all about love, all about a beneficent power at work in the universe, a power bringing us into loving community and life eternal with the Creator in whose image and likeness we all were created. In the most memorized verse in the New Testament, what would that be? John 3:16. We learn that God so, what? Loved the world, that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have life eternal. This morning's reading from 1 Peter that was read by Heather, yes? Or Barbara? Somebody. Heather. Right, that was Heather, yeah. 1 Peter, that passage, we learn a little bit more about who Jesus is. Peter says, Jesus is the one who, quote, suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. And why did Jesus do this? Precisely, says Peter, in order to bring you to God. And in a similar passage, Paul in Romans says that Jesus came that we might have peace with God. Through him, we might obtain access to God, to God's grace, to God's unmerited favor, to God's redeeming love. And this love, says Paul, is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And note there that dynamic verb, poured, flowing. God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is God on the move. It's God's love flowing, stirring, pouring into our hearts from God the Father, just as that love flowed down on that person, Jesus, at the River Jordan. In his little book, Mere Christianity, which should be required reading, C.S. Lewis says, theology is like a map. Theological doctrines and creeds, they're not God, but they help us with our simple minds. They help us get a grasp on the nature of God. And Lewis says, the doctrine of the Trinity is like that. It's not some esoteric theory that I can't understand. The Trinity is the very essence of God. The Trinity is the very name of God. Now, if that sounds a little still esoteric or theological, let me offer to you a simple analogy of the Trinity, of God's being. And that analogy is comparing the Trinity, most appropriately, to love, to the act of loving. To understand the nature of the Trinity, consider, my friends, the nature of love. Loving takes three. Lover, love, and the beloved. You can't have a love affair without those three things. The lover, the beloved, and love itself. Each is united within the larger unity of loving, and yet each is distinct. The lover, the beloved, and love itself. They're bound up together in something pretty special, marvelous, extraordinary. And you know this surely from your experience of love. I'm sure all of us have had that. When we love someone deeply, profoundly, you feel something more. You feel a unity, a commonality, an overpowering connectedness. You're caught up in a new reality, something more than the sum of its parts. You're bound together in love. It's sublime. It's transcendent. It's you at your very best. It's you as God intends you to be. It's you at one with another and maybe at one with the universe. So I believe the best definition of the Trinity, the very name of God, the very essence of God, is found in three simple words. I love you. God the Father, source of all creation, is the I. God the Son, beloved of the Father, is the you. And God the Holy Spirit, the uniting bond between Father and Son, is love itself, is the Holy Spirit. And how marvelous it is that we're invited into that love affair through Jesus. Through him, if we open our hearts, we receive the self-same love that unites Father and Son. Through him, we're brought into full communion with God, embraced by the love flowing between Father and Son, and now flowing, pouring into our hearts as well. The Holy Trinity. Holy cow. The Holy Trinity. Could it be a message reverberating throughout the universe? I love you. And that's what I propose, my dear Trinity friends, may also be, could be, should be, the message of Trinity Church. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Amen. Amen. Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say.
Amen.
Amen.